been a while, so please welcome Paul Grafton.
All right, thanks for having me back. This story is about me. It begins, I'm a 13-year-old boy, and like all of the greatest stories about 13-year-old boys, this story begins with a snake, all right? This is a snake that I caught on a farm in Idaho that I was sent for the summer between my 7th and 8th grade years to toughen up, and milking cows and painting fences and digging ditches. But on the third to last day in there, I caught this snake. I still don't know what kind of snake. It was very green. That's all I can remember about the snake. And I wanted to bring it home. But there was an obstacle to that, and that was my mom. All right, she did not want a snake coming. But I told her, hey, I worked hard this whole summer. I didn't get paid. Like, I deserve something. I want this snake. And she said, okay, you can have the snake. And I was like, cha-ching! The reason why is that two boys in our neighborhood, two older boys, high schoolers, Jimmy Horst and George Stephanforos, they had snakes. And they also had girlfriends. Now, the fact they were very handsome, I wasn't too keen in. I was more about the snake that they would wear around their neck and walk around the neighborhood. And so I was now part of the snake brotherhood. So I connected with Jimmy Horst, and he said, well, you know, if you're halfway there. You need to raise rats in order to feed the snake. Then you can be part of this, you know. I said, okay, you know. And he's like, I just so happen to have, you know, a male and female rat. But here you go. So I acquired those. I took them home. I turned my two fish tanks into one fish tank and one rat cage. And I encountered an obstacle. And that, of course, was my mom. She was not happy about rats in the house. And I said, you know, you promised him the snake. And Jimmy Horst says we need to get rats. And this is a whole story. So she said, if those ever get out, if there's any smells that I can, if there's any problem, they're gone. And I said, look, I spent a whole summer on the farm. I got this. Don't worry. Well, they were very loud at night. It seemed like they would wrestle each other. And about a month into it, and now first of all, there was two rats. There was the male who had a black head and a white body. His name was Blackie. And then I had the female was all white and kind of lean. And guess what her name was? Whitey. Well, Whitey finally gave birth, and I was very excited. It was at night, and I was so excited. And they get the little squeaks of the babies. And then in the morning when I woke up to go check them out, they were gone. And what I didn't realize is that you need to get that male out of there or he'll eat the babies. So, you know, it was a learning process, all right, that my mom didn't really appreciate that much. Because it was loud, it was smelly, there was cannibalism involved. So the rats have got to go. Now, I said, well, is there any way I can get them outside? And she's like, well, you need a cage. Now, I don't know how this happened. To this day, I don't really understand what happened. But my dad, that day, came back. And he's like, there's a huge rabbit cage in the alley two streets over that we can get. And I'm like, today I'm like, what was my dad doing, like combing the alleys? But he was actually pretty excited. He built little homes for him, and he was kind of into it. And so I was like, cha-ching, I got the rat. It's like a palace, rat palace. It's 10 feet long. It's got four different sections. You know, I could move Blackie out after a couple days, and boom. And it was great because they started making lots of babies, and I was like, what are we going to do with these 30 rats? And it turned out that I could sell them to my friends. I could sell them to pet stores for $1, which they then sold them for $3. So I was, you know, making money on this rat experiment. And I kind of fell in love with the rats. They would climb on you. They had personalities. And I'd have to feed the snake. It really bummed me out. So I ended up getting rid of the snake. And I became like the rat guy. I didn't get a girlfriend, so I don't know what happened there. But as I got older, and I was acquiring these funds. A couple years later, I'm in high school, and I finally buy my first bag of weed. Bought an eighth of weed, $25. My best friend, John, we grabbed that, we smoked that, and we had the most euphoric headache ever. And we asked our friend, who's a stoner, he's like, we're like, what's up with this weed? Like, it's, he looked at it, he's like, dude, there's this pack full of seeds. This is shit, you know, like what? And so me and my friend John were dejected. And then I was like, wait, there's like 25 seeds. We hold 25 kernels to grow our own marijuana plants. Cha-ching! And we both happened to work at a nursery together at the same time. And our boss was this hippie guy who was well-versed in the growing of illegal plants. So we were like, we took him to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, like, let me see. He set up us with hormones and special mulches and trimming techniques. And the thing was is that I had an obstacle. Mom, can I grow marijuana plants? No. All right, next thing. I said, but Mom, wait. I'd be willing to get rid of all of the rats, the cage, the shit that's underneath the cage. I will water your vegetable garden every day and weed it. My mom looked down and she's like, you had me get rid of the rats. I'm like, cha-ching, jackpot. So we got together with Larry, this guy, and he set us up. And I think my mom was like, he's not going to be able to grow pot. Like, are you kidding? But she didn't know about Larry. And he was our ace in the hole. And John and I grew these plants, first in little Dixie cups, then into 1 gallons, 5 gallons. Now, his mom discovered his plants on the porch. And they were immediately pulled up and destroyed, much to his chagrin. But mine, I had gotten permission. So I was good. I had 5 plants. And, like, they grew fast. Like, I don't know if it was Larry's techniques or just that. I mean, they call it weed, but it grew fast. It was like a marijuana forest in our backyard. And I became sort of a celebrity, like friends. You know, I wasn't discreet about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm growing pot in my backyard. Oh, really? I want to check it out. And so, like, people would come over, hang out, we'd shoot baskets. There's a trailer in the back. We've had late night poker games, and I was watering the vegetable garden. And then my mom's good friend came over. She worked for the admissions office at UCLA. And when she saw those plants, she wove her own tales of police arrests, addiction, you know, confiscation of property and all. And so moms were like, all right, they're gone. And no debate, no. And so I was able to kind of give some of the plants away. My brother, actually, my mom doesn't know this, but my brother took one of the plants. We were bummed. You know, me and John, we had this great plan. We thought it was going to work, and it blew up, and we had nothing to show for it. We heard later from other people who gave plants to that it was very high-quality marijuana, but we never, in fact, smoked any of it. It turned out the one I gave my brother was also a male plant, which didn't produce what we needed. But, you know, they say that there's 2 questions to ask in life. You know, what is your path, and who's going to go on it with you? And as a teenager growing marijuana, that really opened up the door, not only for me, but my friend John, to open up to this world of growing things. We didn't realize it, but we were really amazed at this process. I got really interested in the garden. We ate zucchinis and tomatoes, and I realized it was a sort of bonding thing. And he now works in Mexico as a professor of botany in Oaxaca, and he had his PhD in plant biology, and I now work as a naturalist in Montana del Oro and have a botany degree from Humboldt State. And so looking back, I would say that was one of the most formative, meaningful experiences I had of growing marijuana in my backyard. So thank you.